So I was playing golf with some of my friends. It was on a Sunday morning and very peaceful, very beautiful weather. Everything was beautiful. It was a nice place to be. And all of a sudden we heard shots being fired in the air. And I guess probably four or five. And it sounded like bullets, but what do I know about that? But Secret Service knew immediately it was bullets. And they grabbed me. He didn't exactly hit the target the way he wanted. There's something going on. I mean, perhaps it's God wanting me to be president to save this country.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. Well, that's what President Trump said just a few days ago after the attempted assassination at the golf course. The point I want to make is that God seems to be showing up in our headlines, in the public square. It wasn't always this way. I can tell you, when you followed politics years ago, no one mentioned God, or if they did, it was in a prayer or very formal. There was just no discussion. And even in polite conversation, and certainly in Washington, D.C., there wasn't much talk of God. But things have been changing, and they've been changing for quite a while. I did a whole show with you on what happened at the Republican convention, that in spite of some of the forces behind, some of the Republican forces behind who, you know, are not friendly to people who really, truly have strong faith in God and want to express it and are in politics because of that, because they want what's right for the country, for their neighbors, and for the future. So we saw God show up at that convention in spite of them in amazing ways. But I also, if I did not mention this, RFK Jr., in his speech when he put his support behind President Trump, amazed me by his talk of, you know, he is very involved in the environment. He loves the natural environment. Like Teddy Roosevelt, he talked about the beauty of this country, the beauty of nature, and he described it so eloquently. And then he said, when we focus like on carbon emissions and, you know, credits and global warming and all of this, we take out what those of us that are environmentalists really are after. And that is how God reveals himself in nature. We prevent ourselves from seeing God in nature. And it was a moving, moving statement. And of course, it took me to Romans 1, which says that God has made himself known to man since the beginning through the creation. So we know that's true. And so in our second conversation with Patrick Riley, we get into his atheism and God a little bit. It's an interesting exchange, and I hope you enjoy it. But first, abortion supporters assure us that not only abortion pills, but also telehealth abortions and self-managed abortions are safe and effective. I told you just a few days ago about Amber, a young girl from Georgia who went to North Carolina to an abortion clinic and got the abortion pills. We've talked about that. Two pills, one to kill and one to expel. And she was having twins. But the problem is, as far as we know, this clinic did not require any in-person follow-up to confirm that the abortion was complete, and it was not. Parts of the babies were left inside of her after she went home and took these pills on her own. She didn't realize it. She got an infection, had to go back to the doctor, and she died on the table before they could actually help her. They, as far as we know, the abortion clinic didn't even stay in contact with her. They just gave her the pills and sent her on her way. That's why we have to stop this, and that is why we have to appeal to the moms over thinking that this is so simple. They'll just take a pill and it will be over. Can you imagine the trauma of that girl? And then, of course, now she's lost her life. Well, if you'd like to do something about it, we can. When women see their babies in this 4D ultrasound that preborn supplies, it's just a miracle. They actually see them, and most of them just cannot bring themselves to terminating the baby. That's how we help them. That is the most effective help I can imagine. If you want to help provide these, go to preborn.com/Sandy. You can make your best donation, $28, pays for one. But really, however generous you can be, it's preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, you know you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can catch the show at the website, sandyrios.com, or any podcast platform. And you, of course, you can go to AFR.net, which is our home base. Okay, stay tuned to part two with Patrick Riley, this time on faith and atheism on Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Were you there on January 6th?
I almost was.
Yeah, I was.
Were you there?
I testified in the Proud Boys trial. I got subpoenaed.
Really?
Yeah, I testified on behalf of the Proud Boys.
Did you really?
And I'm a liberal. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
It's
what? Can you tell me what you said? Ask you? Can I interview you?
Yeah.
So what did you talk about? What did you testify to? And whose trial was it?
It was Joe Biggs, Enrique Tarrio, okay. Ethan Nordine, Zachary Real, and Dominic Pizzola. They were all tried at the same time. Yeah. They were all convicted of a ridiculous thing called seditious conspiracy, which they didn't commit. Anyway, just to tell you how this went, I befriended Joe Biggs back in 2019. And I kind of followed the Proud Boys around the country, everywhere from San Francisco to Miami to Texas, all over the place. And I stayed at Airbnbs with them. I got to know them very well, right? They're not all the same. There are some bad guys in that organization, and there are some decent people that I like. To say that it's not a racist organization is kind of ridiculous. There are a lot of racists in that organization. Mm-hmm. I saw it with my own eyes and heard it, and I was around it.
But Enrique was not one. He was a black Cuban, right? Ricky's a Cuban.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. This is something that nobody will ever, you'll never hear this from anybody else. There was a rally in Richmond, Virginia. It was a Second Amendment rally. There were like 20,000 people showed up. It was on January 20th, 2020, right?
Okay.
This is just before the pandemic and the lockdowns, right? So people were, this is one of the last big rallies I went to before everything stopped.
Yeah.
And I was at an Airbnb full of Proud Boys after the event was over. And there was a kid walking around, a young guy in his 20s, with a shaved head and looked like a skinhead. He took off his jacket and he had a shirt that said Rahoa across it. It's a Nazi band, right? It's a very well-known Nazi band if you know anything about that stuff. It's an acronym. It stands for Racial Holy War. That's the name of this band.
Oh, boy.
They're a Canadian band. They're absolutely horrible. The lead singer started that thing, Stormfront. It's like a message board. It's a Nazi message board. Very popular among
people. I have heard of that.
Yeah. Anyway, I saw this, and I went up to Enrique, and I said, hey, you have a problem. I understand you don't know what that means, but I do because I study extremism and I know exactly what that is. And you have got to get rid of this guy because you can't look Sarah Seidner or any of the other reporters at CNN that like to interview you. You can't look them in the face and say, I don't tolerate racism if you know that you have a Nazi. This isn't like gray area stuff.
Yeah.
And he told me, I'm not going to get involved in local chapter politics.
Okay.
So like, the idea that they don't tolerate.
Big mistake.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the deal with them. But the reason I testified was I was down there as a photojournalist. I was down there on January 6th to take photos. I took a lot of photos of Joe and Enrique wasn't there that day. He got arrested the day before.
On the plane,
so,
right?
Yeah, he was in Baltimore. But anyway, the rest of them were there. Ethan Nordine and Zachary Real and all those guys that were on trial. I was with them all morning. If there was some kind of plan to overthrow the government, I would have heard about it.
You would have known about it.
So I actually left them before the riot started because I was certain that nothing was going to happen with them. This was clearly, they snapped. They had they made a terrible judgment, but it wasn't pre-planned. It wasn't a conspiracy. And they got charged with something that they didn't do. So if you want to charge them with assaulting a police officer, there's a million things you could charge them with. And I do believe that they did deserve to go to jail for a short, but they should have been out before the trial even started, right? They should have gotten time served. Instead, they got 16 to 22 years, depending on which guy. And I sat there and watched the government prosecute them for being disreputable people. I'm going to try to not use foul language, but they basically said, hey, these guys are scumbags, aren't they? And then they showed video of, and this is why they did this, I don't know, but they had these Zoom calls that were recorded where they said some of the most reprehensible stuff that you could possibly say. It made them look terrible, in their own words. This isn't spin. They really, you know, said some awful stuff, and the jury hated them. And I think that they got convicted for being jerks, you know, rather than
for law breaking.
Yeah, and so it drove me crazy, and I felt the need to testify because I had been around these guys long enough to know how they operate. And if they were going to do any kind of protest, it's always meticulously planned. They don't just go off, you know what. And I think that they had like a mental breakdown. I think they made a terrible mistake. But we differentiate between crimes of passion and premeditated crimes, right? We always have. In every, you know, there's a difference between someone who kills someone in a rage or somebody who plans to do it and takes an airplane down to, you know. So these guys, the idea that they planned this out, if they had, it would have been done differently, because I saw how they planned protests for a couple of years before this happened. I you know, the jury didn't buy it, apparently, because if they did, they wouldn't have gotten convicted. But I did my best, you know.
Well, the good for you, Patrick. And I would imagine, you know, this is what we've seen in most of these trials. It's unbelievable, especially the judges in D.C. It is absolutely shameful. It's jaw-dropping. And that's why Americans, that's why back to the election, why... People like to say, the left really likes to say that we're all Trump delusion. That we are, you know, gaga about Trump, and that's really not true. Maybe for some people.
It is true
for some people, yeah. But for rational, constitutional republic people, we see this travesty of justice, and it's just, and we see that it's dangerous, and it's leading someplace that's very dangerous for all of us.
It is dangerous, and I can tell you that I've been to so many Trump events, and, you know, whether it's a rally or it was a Proud Boys thing or it was, you know, whatever, everything changed after the election. The atmosphere on January 6th and everything I've been to since then is drastically different than it was. It's night and day different than it was before that. The same types of rallies are now, there's a meanness that wasn't there when he, you know, when I started going to things in, you know, 2018 or whatever, MAGA was kind of sitting fat and happy because their boy was in office and everything was good, and he was starting to do some of the stuff that they wanted, and there was no opposition. The Democrats didn't have the House, didn't have the Senate. You know, they had everything that they wanted, and they were nice. So when I would go to events, and, you know, or I'd go on InfoWars or whatever, I would get they would tease me. It was almost like it was a good-natured ribbing. It's like, well, he's your president too. I heard that like 1,000 times, and they try to get a rise out of me and stuff, but it doesn't work with me. But, you know, anyway, it was. They didn't mind having me around, and they liked to, you know, bust my chops about being a liberal and stuff like that. But it didn't have this mean-spirited nature to it that it started to after the election.
MAGA toward you?
Not toward me specifically, but toward just people in general. Like there was an energy. I think come off like a hippie when I say this, but like there was a vibe, right? You know,
like Kamala vibe,
right? It was a different vibe.
A mega vibe. After.
Yeah, it was bad. It wasn't the same as it was.
Really?
Today is kind of different because people are nice here, but
you understand because you've been around now. I think you might be right, but there is an anger. There's an anger. There's an anger at how
palpable.
The J6ers have been treated.
Yeah.
There's an anger at the move to try to what we feel is to disrupt and destroy the republic.
Yeah.
And so there's an anger. And it's like not over that line.
Right.
No. And we will fight.
There are people who have like I can give a specific example. There's a guy named Will Johnson, who is a podcaster. And he worked a little while at InfoWars, and he's got his own thing. He bounces around. He's noticeable because he's a black guy with dreadlocks that go down to his waist. Big, he stands out in the MAGA crowd, right? I mean, like he doesn't look like everybody else. So a lot of people know who he is. If I showed you a picture, you'd probably recognize him, right? He's at every Trump rally. He's basically a professional Trump fan, you know. So, and there are a lot of these people.
I know that you're right.
Yeah. So Will is a Christian, and on his podcast, he invited me on several times, and he'd do like a panel discussion, and I would be the liberal that they'd all try and beat up on, right? And unsuccessfully. But anyway, he made it very clear every single time he'd remind me. I was in the Navy. I was a sailor. I can mouth off. So he'd always remind me, don't curse, you know, and I'm housebroken. I can, if you tell me not to, I'm not going to curse with, you know, on your program. And that, so I knew that going into Will, every time I go on, I'm like, hey, remember, watch your mouth. And so after the election was over, this is about a month after the election, he invites me on his show. And a couple of his guys decided to just start berating me over abortion, right? Calling me, saying I like baby killing. Now, we can have different opinions on abortion, but to accuse me of liking baby killing, that's unreasonable and ridiculous. And it doesn't often happen, but I snapped. And I cursed these guys out. And then they started with me, and Will was, like, very upset about the whole thing. And I broke the rules, and I shouldn't have, and I regretted it after. He blocks me and no longer invites me on the show. Okay, I broke the rules. I get it. A couple of months later, I see an article on Right Wing Watch, where I was first introduced to you, that man pulled off airplane in Texas for wearing a profane T-shirt. And he had Will Johnson, and he had an F Joe Biden and F you for voting for him. We've all seen that flyer, that flag, or it's on T-shirts, it's on hats, all over the place, right? He tried to get on a plane in Texas, in Dallas, I think, with that shirt on. This is the guy who, a couple of months before that,
was mad at you for using language.
But he's wearing this, and I looked at it and I said, you know what? This is probably a publicity stunt. Like, I get that part of it. But I think some of these people have just snapped. And it's different than it was before the election. I think some people took leave of their senses since he lost that election, because they don't believe he lost that election. And I think that's the most stark example I could give you, because this is yeah. just a couple of months apart.
Yeah, you know? No. I think also, just for the record, that there's a lot of ways. A lot of people say they're Christians, but yeah. they don't understand. They pick out things to be mad about,
right.
like even language,
yeah.
The way somebody dresses, or your tattoos,
right.
or they don't understand that it's so much deeper than that.
Right.
These are it's the heart.
Yeah.
It's the heart that God wants. It's the heart that He captures. Mm. It's through the heart that He works in our lives as believers. And it's not through rules,
right.
And you know, it's not through, I don't like them because they say this, or they, you know, I always say, okay, back to the dating thing. When I was single for 18 years before I married my husband, and so I can tell you some funny stories. But I found that there were a lot of Christians,
yeah.
who had no character. Yeah, they went to church, they did this and that, but they had no character. Mm. My husband was not a Christian, and he had language, but he had character.
Right.
Now, he became a Christian after we started dating, I mean, a serious Christian. And his language did clean up later.
Right.
But his language wasn't the issue. It was his heart, his understanding.
Right.
And so that applies to every way that we relate to people. So, and even in... even in marriage, where Christians think, you know, the only reason you can get a divorce is because of adultery.
Mm.
So women will treat their husbands like, I can't say words in my head, like, you know, horribly. And neglect them, or not sleep with them for years, or berate them, or whatever. But they did commit adultery, did not. And the husband then sometimes will eventually, you know, have an affair because he's... Yeah. And then, but then, I'm talking about Christians now, some. And so they'll feel very righteous, women, because their husband,
right.
they treated them like crap, their mm-hmm. husbands. But the husband committed adultery. So you see what I'm
right.
see how twisted
yeah.
it gets?
Yeah.
It's just a twisted, it's not biblical.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're not believers. I'm just saying they have not understood. It hasn't gone deep down.
Right.
You know, we conform our minds to the mind of Christ. Takes a lifetime. You know, I'm still learning. I swear, I am still learning that there are things in my life I have to change, or things I think, or attitudes, as God is molding my own character. I've, you know, I wasn't, yeah. takes a lot of years. So all I'm just saying, that's not yeah. Jesus. Jesus is not really like what a lot of us act like and say. Yeah, he's magnetic and irresistible. He is absolutely, you either hate him or you cannot resist him. And
I think you can be kind of in the middle.
Well, not if you really know, not if you've really seen him as he is. You just can't resist him, Jason. Patrick, I don't think it's a powerful thing. It's a beautiful thing, and it's hard to resist. So there is a middle ground, you think, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I grew up in a very religious household. My father was a religion teacher at the Catholic high school that I went to. I was an altar boy. I have to, you know, but I'd say I like Jesus. I wouldn't say I love Jesus. I don't think, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I think, you know, my whole family's Christian. Most of my friends are Christian. I think that, you know, if you model your life after Jesus of the gospel, I think you could do pretty well, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think I'm in the middle. I'm not really, I don't believe that he's the Son of God, but that doesn't mean I don't think that he provides a good example of how to live a decent life.
No, he does do that. The only thing is you have to come to reckon with the fact that he said he was the Son of God. That's why they killed him, because they thought it was such a blasphemy. That, can you imagine? You talk about Trump having an ego. Yeah. Well, if you like Jesus, Jesus said he was the Son of God. That's kind of delusional. Or
well, it might have
been. The biggest egotism. Well, then that kind of negates all the other stuff. He's a liar, and he's a poser, and he's got, you know, he's claiming Godhead. How disgusting.
Well, there's a difference between, if you're delusional, you're not necessarily lying. You know what I mean? Like, he maybe, I have no reason to believe that a man who was willing to be crucified for what he thought was a con man. I mean, that doesn't make sense, right? I mean, why would you go through with all that? At some point, you just say, okay, I'll shut my mouth and go away. If he really was some kind of charlatan, a huckster or something like that. So I think it's very reasonable to believe, if we're to believe the story of the Bible, if we believe that that's true. And even if you don't, it's a fact that a Jesus of Nazareth was crucified by the Romans for treason. We know that because they kept records, right? So that's not in dispute. It's whether or not he really, the rest of the stories could be, you know, fabricated,
like,
I guess.
Like his resurrection and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, of course, and, you know, most people in the world don't believe that, you know? Who's to say? I mean, the only thing, and I always say this to Christians who you know, kind of, who doubt my doubting nature or whatever, give me a hard time about it. I say, look, I'll give you this. There were hundreds of people were killed for swearing that they saw him after he died. All right? Could they all be crazy? I guess. But that's the best argument you could make, right, that he was what he said he was, is that people were willing to die for it.
Right. You know? Brutal deaths.
Yeah,
because of what they saw. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that you just made the best argument.
No, that is the best argument.
I'll tell you something, Patrick. What I found, you know, I actually think, you said you grew up Catholic, and my husband grew up Presbyterian. I think, look, this is not a blanket statement against Catholics and Presbyterians. I'm just giving an illustration. You know, sometimes growing up in a church, whatever the stripe, if the real power and presence of God is not, I'm not saying, I don't know your church or anything, so don't take this personally, or your dad or anything, but if they don't sense the real power of God, it's ritual, they're going through a ritual, or we stand up, sit down, we say this, we sing this, and they don't, the Bible calls it having a form of godliness, a form, but lacking the power. Remember, Jesus raised the dead, he healed the sick, he had some, there was power. See, and what we often experience in church is so far from that. We do our thing, we do our ritual, whether it's Protestant or Catholic. And if you have been in church, but you haven't really seen the power of God or experienced it, then I think that's like, it makes you, this is not the right word either. It makes you resistant. I can't think of the proper word here. Resistant to real Christianity, because you think you know, and I don't. I know you know. I know you know a lot of stuff. My husband did too, but you don't really know him. You haven't really seen him, and felt his power.
And that's different than church. Church can be phony as heck, and it can be just ritual. In fact, religion, I would say, is man's, you know, it's how man expresses his faith. Like, well, I remember I was in Russia a number of years ago in Moscow, and I was, I had a translator that was a ballerina, and I went to her home the last day. I took a subway to the outskirts of Moscow, and she fixed this beautiful dinner. Her husband looked like he walked out of the 14th century, full beard, you know, all of that. And so before we ate, I asked her, she had a son who was autistic, and she and I become very good friends because I had a disabled child. So that's why she wanted me in her home. And so I asked her if I could pray before we ate, would they mind? And as soon as she translated to her husband, he jumped up from the table and stood up and, you know, looked, I guess, toward the east and started bowing at his waist. So I stood up too, and that was his way of expressing.
Right.
And I try to join in with him. Right. But I'm just telling you, men has stuff they do. Mm. Like, but it's not what Jesus requires. And so sometimes we think that doing the stuff that men tell us we should do, the way we dress, like Mennonites or whatever, right, you know, is a substitute for actually knowing the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not. And so it makes you immune, kind of immune or resistant, virulent resistant to the thing. And I also find, and I don't know if you would agree with this, but I've had a lot of atheist friends. I used to debate, they used to call him the Chicago atheist, Rob Sherman. He and I became friends. It's why I can tell you some funny stories about that. But I find, and this may, I don't want this to offend you, but I just have found that there are two reasons in my experience why people don't believe in God. And one of them is that they really did trust him. They really did trust him. And something tragic happened. They prayed for something, and it didn't happen. And I knew a man who was at the Holy Angels Cathedral in Chicago. There was a horrible fire there, I think, in the 40s or 50s, maybe. And all these kids were burned alive. It was horrible. And that's when he lost his faith as an atheist, because God didn't do anything. How could God do that? So I know there's a huge body of people who don't believe in God because of tragedies or disappointments in their lives. And the other one is trickier, and you can, I won't look at you, and you don't have to say anything. But I have realized that a lot of atheists are that way because they are honest people, intellectually honest, but they have stuff in their life that they really enjoy, and they don't want to give it up, and it's not moral. So, I'm just telling you, this has been my experience, but anyway, I love about you that you are so intellectually honest. I do love that. And that you would, it proves it, that you would testify for the Proud Boys, and I think you have a good sense of the truth. And
I think it's just, you know, in that case and in most cases where, you know, you have a principle and you just apply it across the board. You don't get to decide when and where to apply it, or else it's not a principle. You don't actually believe it, right? So I just think consistency is important. So there are a couple of those guys. I think Enrique is a con man. He's a bad guy. I wouldn't, if I had kids, I wouldn't want him around them, right? And he's, you know, he's told a lot of stories about, you know, you'll hear people say that, well, I've done things that I'm not proud of or whatever. And they mean it. They really do feel repentant, you know, for having done some things. He tells stories about being a car thief when he was a kid, not like, hey, I'm embarrassed about this. He brags about it. You know what I mean? So he's like one of those guys. So I think that he's a bad guy, and is society probably better off that he's in jail? Yeah, I guess.
Well, that's interesting.
But that doesn't mean that I get to throw away. I know that he did not commit the crime that they accused him of. And so whether that's what drives me crazy. I think the jury convicted those guys because they didn't like them, because they thought they were bad people. Well, you know what? That's not against the law.
But that's what they're doing with the J6ers. I just interviewed Rivera. J.D. Rivera. He was sitting right here where you are. And he was a Marine, a decorated Marine. He was in Iraq, and he was in the Capitol for film. He's a filmmaker. And that's all he did. But then, of course, they turned him into, he said they just treated him like he was
like an insurrectionist. That's the label they give. And he just went into the Capitol to film things. He didn't do anything. He was charged with misdemeanors. So it's a whole group of people that they have. And you saw that firsthand. And doesn't that bother you? I know.
Of course it does. It bothered me enough to go down there and raise my right hand and testify. And the thing is, you know, it drives me crazy. You know, some of my friends have said to me, like, I can't believe you did that.
I bet they did.
And I'm like, my response is like, look, you have principles, not just desired outcomes, right? So I may apply this same principle in 10 different situations and half the time get a result that I don't like, but it doesn't matter because it's the principle, not the result. And so maybe if the jury had been swayed by my testimony, maybe a guy like Enrique, who I think is a bad guy, who is definitely going to commit crimes, would be out. Okay, well, they should charge him with the stuff he actually did, not the stuff he didn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I have lost no sleep over my participation in that trial. I wish the outcome had been different, but you know, when friends of mine who are honestly just incredulous that I participated, like, how can you as a liberal go down there and defend these guys? And I'm like, because they're not wrong in this particular case. If I saw them do so, if they were on trial for any number of other things that I've seen them do, I would testify to that, you know?
Took a lot of courage to do that.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it did.
Thank you.
And I was just going to tell you, I have the same battle because I have a, you know, I've been, as you know, I've been doing this for a number of years, radio and television. So I'll have a certain way of thinking about things. I do about J6 because of the covering it. So it's really hard for me to entertain the notion that some of them actually did something wrong.
Right.
But I know intellectually that's true. I have to fight my own inclinations because I have to stand on the truth. Mine is because I serve the God of all truth.
Right.
He just does not countenance in dishonesty.
Right.
In me, I can't do that. I can't do that. So sometimes I'll be on the air and I have to think about what I'm going to include and leave out, and I have to make sure that I'm not bending the curve so that people only know one thing and I'm omitting something. Then I have to go through this exercise of, okay, this is true also. So now I've served God long enough to know that even if I don't understand the inconsistencies there, I will in time, but I can't deny them.
Right.
Okay, so it's interesting, isn't it? Trying to be an honest person in all of this confusion.
Yeah, because it can be convenient to you know, and lazy, frankly, to just bend everything to fit your desired outcomes.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
It's a lot harder to apply that same principle, especially when you know you're going to get a result that is not optimal.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But that's what we're supposed to be doing, isn't it?
Yes, and I would say, Patrick, there have been a lot of people, back to the atheist thing, there have been a lot of atheists who are honest people like you are, who did end up finding the God of truth because they were they loved truth and they finally just kind of went on a truth journey and they found him. So I will pray that for you. No, I will.
No, it's a familiar. I've gotten
I'm
no,
sure
no
you
offense,
have.
But I've gotten that before.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure I can't say anything that would be surprising to you. All right, Sandy Rios back with you on Sandy Rios 24/7 and. That was just a wonderful opportunity. You know, I went to Texas for the film festival, and I will get to that, I promise. But I did not expect to meet Patrick, and in this circumstance, who is an atheist who's been following me for so many years. Of course, that in itself is kind of just makes me stop and think, honestly. So I will pray for him, and I pray that you'll pray for him too, because I believe he is on a journey, even if he's journey resistant. I believe he is on a journey, and I will be praying that he will complete that journey and find the God of all truth. And I hope I hear about it before I die. I hope I hear about it. Well, we're not done yet, so stay tuned. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a bigger way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping rescue 200 babies. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from The Morning Show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7 as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I'm not supposed to be here tonight. I'm not supposed to be here. No? Thank you. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God.
Well, so even Donald Trump, so many people hate him, but I have to say, they have to acknowledge that he has really bowed the knee to God. How far that's going to go, I don't know. Because the Bible tells us there's a seed that's planted, and we don't know if it's rocky soil, if it's fertile soil, if the wind's going to come and blow, if it'll be washed away by the chafe, or if it will take root and grow. We all watch for that. And that's what we all pray for, that seed goes out, and it certainly has gone out to him. It's gone out to Patrick, too. In many ways, he has a lot of Christians around him. And plus, he, of course, heard about Christ as he's growing up. So there have been a lot of seeds planted. And we pray for all of you listening who maybe are not sure. If ever there was a time to reconcile yourself with God, the turmoil that we see in this nation and in this world is a time to get on our knees. It starts with humility, just on your knees, humbling yourself. And if you don't feel God's presence, you don't, just ask him to reveal himself to you. He will do that. He will do that, and he will change your life in a powerful way, not a mild way, in a powerful way. Well, I want to thank you. You know, you can call us at 662, you know that, 821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any social platform. I'm more active on Twitter than any place else. You can listen to any podcast platform to hear the podcast. You can go to sandyrios.com. That's an easy way to listen. I want to thank our sponsors, our new sponsors, Timothy Plan, where you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TEM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TEM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.